It's time now for the OSG.
Three whoopies and a hot damn.
Count Porter count.
For sure. It's football time.
College.
The lateral. To the corner of the end zone. Can you believe that?
Football.
All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
Preview show.
It's Division One football.
ACC.
SEC.
Big East.
Big Ten.
Big 12.
Big 10.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The stadium is worse than bonkers.
Featuring expert pigskin commentary from the online sports guys.
How can you not love this place?
Let's kick off this show with your host, John Nelson.
Well, well.
Another week of the college football show, week five, I think, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, we got lots to talk about. It's an upset week.
Yeah.
Oh, what a week it was.
It makes it more fun when there's upsets like that because it just proves that all these so-called preseason pundits are idiots.
And I think the only winner at
including
us.
No.
We didn't do a preseason pundit thing.
No. I think this proves that the only people that won last weekend were Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's
somebody took a lot of cash home.
And I guess now it's J-Dub's challenge to try and get all of those upsets into the next 3 minutes.
Now.
34 seconds showing. 30 seconds. And this crowd of over 67,000 people on its feet, those at least that are wearing green and gold. And you can hear the chant, USF. Clock winds down inside now of 10 seconds. And on the other end of the field, they're going to take the goalpost down. Don't rip them down. Now they take the other goalpost down as well. Clock is winding, 23 seconds. Play clock's at 17, 3 second differential. And literally, just playing out the clock. There's the snap, and here they go. The University of South Florida Bulls have defeated the West Virginia University Mountaineers.
Johnson remains in there as the quarterback for Kansas State. Murphy comes in motion. There's the snap, and Johnson will run it to the right side. He got in! James Johnson in for the Wildcat touchdown. Kansas State has scored again, and they have widened it out to 40-21 with 12:23 to play in the game.
Here's your game.
2:21. Fourth and 10 Rutgers from their own 20. Field of the shotgun.
Watch the two-man route, Chris. Underwood and Britt.
Dale takes a snap, drops back, blitz coming, steps up, hit, and sack, lost the football back at the 15-yard line, and Maryland comes away with it. Jeremy Navarre sacked Mike Teal, and just like that, the Scarlet Knights might be headed for their first loss of the 2007 season as the clock stops with 2:15 to go.
The snapper is Robert Shiver, a sophomore out of Thomasville, Georgia. The holder is Matthew Motley, a senior from Opelika. And Wes Byram, a freshman out of Fort Lauderdale, trying to put it through to give Auburn the win. There's the snap, the place, the kick is up, the kick is long enough, the kick is gone!
Good!
See you later, Alligator! Tigers win! 20-17!
How about those Tigers coming in here on the foot of a righty freshman? I hope Lee Corso and Kirk Street never pick Auburn to have a chance again.
Xavier Lee and Porter dropping Lee, looking Lee, throwing Lee. Caught by Nakoti, 5-40. Step up to the 45-50. Nakoti back to the 40. Nakoti back to the 30. Nakoti back to the 20. Nakoti back to the 10. 5-3-2-1. Touchdown FSU. That's how you quiet Bama. A 70-yard touchdown throw.
I see you, Nakoti Fagg. What a job by Nakoti Fagg. Just a little hitch route. Nice throw.
He's going to win by 10. And the Jackets do not see 0-3 in the ACC. They pick up their first conference win. They get their third win on the year. And for the first time in 4 years, they beat a ranked team at Bobby Dodd Stadium. And Clemson, who was off to its first 4-0 start since 2000, and you know what happened then? They lost 31-28 to Georgia Tech. You know what happened today? They lost 13-3. To Georgia Tech.
Here we go, third and 19 for Penn State. Snap back from their own 48. Rashawn Morelli running for his life. Throws it deep down the field, looking for Butler. Intercepted by Illinois. Illinois got it. Kevin Mitchell intercepts the pass, and the Illini are going to spring the upset. They are going to get sweet revenge for the annihilation 2 years ago.
Malcolm Kelly is told. Scotty McKnight will be holding. 45-yard field goal attempt. It's in the air. It's long enough. And it's good. Colorado wins it. 27-24. So Colorado fans pouring on the field. The goalposts are coming down. They're trying to get them down before the fans can.
31-24 with 16 seconds to go. If the ruling says that they've completed it, well, here it is.
After review, the ruling on this field stands.
Bears win! What a finish to this amazing football game. Oh, my, almost unbelievable, and in some ways heartbreaking that it had to happen to a youngster from the Bay Area, Cameron Colvin, who was making such a great play, and then the ball flies out of his hands, goes into the end zone, it becomes a touchback, and all the Bears have to do is kneel down once, and this game is over, and the Bears have won. A game that practically in legend in Berkeley for years to come.
All right, let me see if I have all my credits correct. Mountaineer Sports Network, Learfield Communications in Kansas State, WCTC, AM Radio and the Scarlet Knights Radio Network, the Auburn ISP Sports Network, Seminole Sports Network, the Georgia Tech ISP Sports Network, the Illinois Football Network, the Oklahoma Sooner Network, the Cal ISP Sports Network. Am I missing anybody?
No, I think you got it all.
I think that's everybody.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you, the upsets that really surprised me the most, that made me raise my eyebrow, was Colorado defeating Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's Division I football!
I agree, especially since Oklahoma seemingly had that game in control going into the half and into the third quarter.
But
and
the thing
all of a sudden
is
the wheels fell off.
Yeah, but you realize, of course, that game says one thing. It's Division I football.
It's the Big 12!
It's the 12.
It's the 12.
This ain't intramurals.
Go play intramurals, brother.
A very toned-down Dan Hawkins imitation, don't you think?
Yes. Any excuse to get the coach in there
is a
good one.
When we get to talking about the 12, we'll get the other one in there.
That's not true!
Biggest upset for all... what was your favorite call of all of those?
Probably mine would be the
Bramlett?
Auburn Network.
Yeah, Rod
Bramlett, yes.
Yeah, I think that would have to qualify there, too. I will have to give Wilkie props, though. He called the Rutgers-Maryland upset.
Yeah,
I did. And had we had a show last week, that's probably what I brought up in our show, was I really see Maryland. I mean, everything stacked up right for the Terps. They're a lot more talented than people think. They were embarrassed by West Virginia, mm-hmm. then embarrassed themselves against Wake, and I think Ralph read in the Riot Act, and they responded.
Now,
how about Chris Turner coming off the bench?
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you know his dad was the original drummer for the rock band Rat?
No.
Sweet.
He comes from Simi Valley, California. They got some sort of California nickname from him. One of the gals at University of Maryland told me this week, and I can't remember it.
Well,
but
we have an entire show to think about it. Jordan Steffi, with his concussed state, is questionable for the game against Georgia Tech.
Well, I was told by sources in Maryland that Turner is going to start in that game.
Well, there you go.
We're going to talk about that when we hit the ACC.
Yeah. You want to start with the SEC, or where do you want to go?
Let's go SEC.
Okay.
SEC, baby.
It's always the place where the action seems to be.
Okay, the games that have no meaning whatsoever. Alabama 10.5-13 against Houston. Arkansas and Tennessee Chattanooga has no line because it's a 1AA opponent. Auburn anywhere from 7.5-9.5 and 42.5 playing Vanderbilt. Ole Miss 13-14 and 53.5 playing Louisiana Tech. Mississippi State, when was the last time they were a 19-point favorite?
I don't think that's happened any time in the recent past.
Probably during the Jackie Sherrill administration. There probably wasn't much legality there either.
No.
Which leaves us with our two games, Florida LSU and Georgia-Tennessee. Where do you boys want to go first?
Let's start with the early game, Georgia-Tennessee. This could get interesting. There's some rumblings going around up there on Rocky Top that if Phil Fulmer doesn't win this game, Phil Fulmer may not be the coach in 2008 up there in Tennessee.
David Cutcliffe.
Several names have popped up, not just his. The flip side of that being that Georgia maybe having a little bit more than people thought that they had this year. A big win over Ole Miss last week. And this game's a traditional road team win kind of a game.
And that you have a maturing, young offensive line finally getting their feet wet when it comes to the SEC.
And I think that's just added to the confidence of Matt Stafford. Right now, I think he's just He's really coming within himself right now, really making good decisions. You know, I don't know, Andre Woodson right now is probably the best quarterback in the SEC, but Matt Stafford is quickly gaining some ground on him, I think.
He's probably the most comfortable right now.
And he's got a running game.
Yeah.
We didn't think that Georgia was going to have a running game.
And they do.
Yeah. With, yes, Sean Marino. Let's hear from Mark Richt and Philip Fulmer.
I think we're running very, very well. Our runners are running very well. I don't know if we're just – I know we're not knocking people around. We have at times got our hat on the right people and you know, made a couple good open field blocks. And our receivers are definitely blocking better than they've ever blocked. That's helping. But, you know, statistically, it's showing that way. But I think the biggest key to our success running the ball is the fact that 20 and 24 are the ones running it.
They're fantastic. You know, you watch them on tape. They run with power and authority and have great vision. And they really do everything. They're not just runners. They protect well. They're good in their pass routes and yards after the catch. So, you know, they're as good a pair as we've seen in a while.
Right now, Tennessee 2-56.5 right now in Knoxville. Probably because if this game was neutral site, it would be a wash.
Anybody that knows the history knows. Yeah. Last two times Georgia's played up there, actually the last three times Georgia's played up there under Mark Richt, they've beaten them. And Tennessee's beaten Georgia in Athens.
Yep. Ask Veron Haynes. That leaves us with Florida and LSU. Right now, LSU 9-49 with Florida coming into town.
Florida got exposed last week.
Yes,
careful
they did.
How you phrase it.
Well, they did.
They're naked in the room, is what you're saying?
They got shown for what they are. They're a one-dimensional team.
Yeah.
And Florida's got to decide, is Tim Tebow going to be a quarterback or is he going to be your featured running back? And they need to find a featured running back on that offense.
Running Tebow 15 to 20 times a game along with passing the ball in the SEC, he's going to get killed.
No, he's going to be burnt out, if not by now, but by November.
And just the physical wear and tear alone is enough to wear the guy out. And it showed they could not mount a sustained offense.
And they're going against one of the best defenses in the country. Shall we hear from the coaches?
Why not?
Knowing as much as Tim runs, how challenging is it going to be to prepare for a defense with the speed and talent of LSU? Do you have to scale back his role at all as a primary ball carrier, or do you just go forward with what you guys do?
Yeah, we're tried to scaling back. A lot of those are not designed runs. You know, we're playing our right guard's a true freshman. We've had some injuries up front, so some of those runs are a reaction to either pressure or coverage pressure where we are covered down the field and he's going to make something happen with his leg. So those are and the negative there is we're facing probably the best defensive line in the country. So he's gonna have to be a mobile quarterback this week.
Well, I think our team is preparing very earnestly for a quality opponent for the certainly defenses with a big challenge. As we've gone on in the week, we enjoy the preparation. Quarterback healthier than it's been, and look forward to this matchup.
So that pretty much puts a wrap on the SEC. Is LSU going to cover, I guess? When is LSU going to actually play a game? 9-49.
That's a pick'em. That's really a pick'em.
I don't know if they'll cover the line. I think LSU wins the game, and I think it's a low-scoring game.
There you go. And next on the board, where did you guys decide you wanted to go? Do you want to go 10 football?
We're going 10.
All right. Games that do not matter.
Because they're not big.
In the grand scheme of things. Indiana, 13.5 and 14.5, 68.5 playing Minnesota. Penn State, who could get another victory from their Michigan game, 9-10-point favorite and 38 playing Iowa. Michigan, speaking of the Wolverines, the currently 3-2 Wolverines, 31-45.5 playing Eastern Michigan. Michigan State, 14.5-16, your total 53 playing Northwestern, which leaves us with Wisconsin, Illinois, and Ohio State and Purdue.
A couple interesting matchups there. I think in Ohio State and Purdue, that's looking like the two best teams in the 10 at this point.
Now, when was the last time that you said that Purdue was one of the best teams in the 10?
Probably not since Drew Brees was their quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
But I agree with Phil here. Purdue's really been impressive, although they played Notre Dame, and it is Notre Dame.
Yes.
But they have the luxury of having this in West Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not completely sold on Ohio State. They're a nice team. They got a good win
They're
in
nice.
Seattle.
It's like you want to pet them in the back of the head. They're nice.
Yeah.
And you got to be prepared to go up against a Joe Tilton.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding.
He's been putting up some points for several years now.
Yep. And right now, Ohio State is a 7-point favorite. Your total 53.
I like Purdue in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that this may, to the on the national scale, it may be an upset. I don't know necessarily that it is, but Purdue wins this game.
Joe Tiller, concerned earlier in the week, this is how his guys are not going to play tightly in this ball game, considering they're 5-0.
Oh, I think just the idea of getting them to understand that you need to be yourself in any football game, but particularly one where others think it's more important than some other game on your schedule, and keep remain grounded. You know, keep your feet on the ground and play your best football.
So we've got Purdue and Purdue here.
Yeah.
Which leaves us with Wisconsin versus the Zookers, and right now the Zookers are anywhere from 1.5 to 3-point favorite. Your total 51. No.
Well. That just tells me what Paul Crane told me Sunday about Wisconsin is right. They're probably the most overrated team right now in college football. Are you kidding me? They're undefeated, and they're in the top 10. I really like Illinois in that game. Illinois has got some nice players. They're young, somewhat inexperienced, but Ron Zook knows how to sweet talk and get some really good athletes, and he's got them to come to Champaign.
And that's the only way he's had to do it is by sweet talking.
This might be the game that Illinois kind of makes that statement.
Not last week?
Well, last week was a statement. Now you got Wisconsin.
They beat a slightly above average Penn State team last week. I think this is your opportunity here, even though Wisconsin as well is slightly above average and, like Wilkie said, way the heck overrated.
And here are the Zooker and Brett Bielema.
That favorite stuff. I mean, that's got to be a Wisconsin guy trying to get them upset. I mean, I don't know how you could have a team that's been 2-10 the last 2 years and playing the number 5 team in the nation. I said that's somebody just trying to get them upset. If indeed we are,
the way we're going to approach things is if we're going into a ball game that we're by the outside world supposed to be the favorite, or if we're going into a ball game where the outside world thinks we're an underdog, it doesn't change what we do. We really in this program have tried to focus on the people that control the destiny of a game is yourself. Everything, the way we prepare, the way we approach games, the way that we handle a game, it all gets back to us. I think that's the only way you can go through life with success is if you put it on yourself. As soon as you start looking at the outside world for help, you're not going to get much.
So you guys seemed incredibly shocked when I told you that Illinois was the favorite here so far in the book.
Illinois is not a traditional 10 power. They haven't been for a long time.
Not since Fred Grange.
Jeff George.
That was a blip. That was in the Lou Tepper administration.
Yes.
While the Zookmeister is a huge recruiter and has done wonders bringing in talented people to that program, he's not exactly got a reputation as a great game day coach.
Yeah, and
true, but the atmosphere in Champaign is a little different than the atmosphere from Gainesville. I mean, they're happy with an 8-9 win season in Champaign is something to celebrate.
Considering what Ron Zook did to the folks in Gainesville, in their mind anyway.
Yeah.
He escaped with his life, and he's been put in what is, in a lot of circles, the major conference version of Siberia, and he, for some reason, he's been able to resurrect this and turn it into something.
Didn't have to change his colors.
No.
True. Good point there.
Very good one.
Now,
I try.
We go to the East.
Not the Big East or just the East?
I don't know. I mean, that's open for debate, I guess.
Man, we're taking big out of everything, aren't we?
Yeah, they've got a couple pretty good teams in this conference. I think they still qualify as a big conference.
Okay.
At least at this point in the season. Though it's kind of hard to explain Syracuse being 1-0 in the conference and 1-4 overall.
Oh, considering that they beat Louisville in Louisville, then they turn around and lose to Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
Well, Louisville's defense couldn't stop us, guys. Come on, you know that.
But Miami of Ohio can?
speechless.
Right now, West Virginia, Syracuse, West Virginia, 26.5 and 56. South Florida, and I want to bring up the Lou Saban, the Nick Saban comment. Apparently,
with Tim Leavitt.
Yeah, where apparently Nick Saban feels that South Florida is getting ahead because of substandard academic requirements.
And Jim Leavitt was livid when he heard that.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Talking about the Talk about the pot calling the kettle.
Yeah, really.
I mean, Satan's got no... I'm sorry, did I call him Satan?
Yeah.
Freudian slip there.
Not really. I don't think it was.
He's got some...
Dolphin fan.
Yeah, well...
He's got some set of balls trying to call out South Florida when he's in Alabama in a situation where those guys would pay money to bring in talent.
Didn't they try to bring in Jim Leavitt?
I believe they
as part of the Rodriguez-Leavitt, yeah. Saban whole thing.
His name was on the short list.
Yeah.
And he knows better.
Yeah. And so right now, he's happily being the number insert here in the country top 10 in Tampa, Florida, and doesn't have to put up with the crap and the psychopaths in Tuscaloosa.
And guys, he's in a pro town.
I got news for you. They may not lose this season.
I agree.
Yep.
They've got
some nice players. George Selvey, to me, is a man. On
Matt
defensive
Grothy
line.
As a sophomore.
Matt Grothy, he's impressed me. That defense impressed me, not only for Selvey, but how fast they are and how fundamentally sound they are.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be one of the two best teams in the country, but they may be one of the two undefeated teams in the country.
And one of the more entertaining ones to watch. Right now they've got FAU this week, and they actually go down to Dolphin Stadium to play Howard Schnellenberger, 15-15.5 and 48.5 your total, which leaves us with Cincinnati and Rutgers. Right now, Rutgers, since they're playing at home, 3.5 and 53.
That's an interesting matchup. I mean, Cincinnati, 5-0 out of the block, so they haven't played any conference games so far.
First time.
Well, this will be a huge test.
Yeah. First time that they're ranked since, like,
the dawn of time?
Yeah. You know, the Industrial Revolution in some polls. And so Rutgers has a chance to rebound after the
Maryland
loss.
Actually, 1976 was the last time they were in the top 25.
And, you know, let's see. I think we were all in elementary school at the time that happened.
Right.
Here, a reserved comment there.
Yes, here are coaches Kelly and Shiano.
We've got a great challenge. I mean, we're going to have to play very well. We're going to have to play better than we've played all year. Defensively, we're going to have to certainly rely on, an experienced group of players to go on the road and then figure out what we can do offensively as we go through the game.
We've got a huge challenge ahead of us. We're playing probably the hottest team in college football this week. And when you watch their tape, you know, I had seen in the offseason, had studied them a little bit, more the Central Michigan stuff. And then, to see them, what they're doing this year, they're just very, very explosive on offense. They've changed their style quite a bit and very explosive, and they're still playing very sound defense and limiting people from scoring.
So is Cincinnati going to come back to earth after this one?
I don't know.
I really like Cincinnati in this game. They're a team that...
You do?
I really do. I think they're a team with a bullet. It's good to see that Ben Mock has resurrected his career in Cincinnati after separating his shoulder and losing his starting job to
right.
Riley Skinner at Wake Forest. Rutgers, to me...
is a good team, but they're not a great team.
Yeah. I mean, Ray Rice, he's a great running back, but he's kind of going through the similar thing that Darren McFadden's going through at Arkansas. I mean, he's asking to do too much. Exactly. Yeah. So, games in New Jersey, I know, but I like Cincinnati and maybe like a 20-17 kind of deal.
Wow.
I mean, this is a toss-up game. Again, probably not real high scoring, but it could go either way. I don't know that I'd make a pick in this one.
Yeah, one note going backwards a little bit. Pat White, with his thigh injury, injured in his game against USF, is listed as questionable going up against Syracuse.
Not a big factor.
No, that is the first half of the show. Some of you get Tommy, some of you get Brian. Some of you get your bottom of the hour news, and the rest
all
of us
you get us coming back in a few minutes.
Yeah, that as the college football preview rolls on. After you hear some stuff,
we're talking with Paul Dow from Timeshares Only. Paul, I hear you've just come out with this great new kit that you're giving away.
Yeah, it's called the Top 10 Secrets to Buying and Selling Timeshares, and it's just a phenomenal resource for anybody looking to sell their timeshare.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, it tells you what your timeshare is really worth.
Uh huh.
And more importantly, how to sell it for top dollar. Well, there are thousands of people out there just waiting to buy your timeshare. But you sort of need to learn the secrets to getting the most cash for it.
And the kit is free.
Yes, but it's only a limited time offer, so you need to call our toll-free number now, and we'll rush it right out.
Well, sounds like a pretty sweet thing for really anybody who owns a timeshare.
It really is. It could make you thousands of dollars.
Okay, the top 10 secrets to buying and selling timeshares. Here's the phone number to call. It's 1-800-514-4750. Again, that's 1-800-514-4750. 1-800-514-4750.
This is Tommy Palmer with a sports comment for OSG Radio. As bad as I hate to say it, wait till next year if one is a Braves fan. The last week has pretty much sealed the deal as far as the Atlanta Braves making the playoffs are concerned. The reason? A team can't go 2-5 or 3-4 in 7 games and stay in any race, division, or wild card, and that's what's happening with the Braves. Even if the Braves sweep the Mets and Phillies over the weekend and next week, it's too much too late. When a team gets 7 or 8 games behind in the loss column in the division race and 4 or 5 games back in the wild card race, then it's pretty much over with. The Braves can cut the margin in the East with a couple of sweeps of division foes. The real problem is trying to climb past San Diego and Los Angeles for the wild card berth. The past 2 weeks have all but killed any chance of a playoff berth for the Atlanta Braves. For OSG Radio, this is Tommy Palmer.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter Retractable Awning.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
Our Sunsetter Retractable Awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds and keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Harry!
All right. But now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Good, Harry.
Call now and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-231-7911 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-231-7911. 1-800-231-7911.
Counterpoint or count?
How cool is Wes Byram? He made the winning field goal twice.
The OSG College Football Preview Show. Now here's Brian Eaves.
Week 6 of the college football season is upon us, and Week 5 saw more upsets than I can ever recall. Texas and Oklahoma both looked ahead to the Red River rivalry this weekend and couldn't get the job done. South Florida showed West Virginia and the entire world they are for real, and Florida couldn't survive Auburn at home. It's looking more and more like a LSU-USC national championship game. And we've also officially entered the fade mode in the picks department, so whichever way I go this week, you might want to run to the other side. We've dipped below 500 for the year, but we'll keep plugging away this week. And we'll start off with the Gators, +9 at LSU. The Tigers have proved to the world that they are one of the two best teams in college football, but Florida's not that far behind. Both have high-powered offenses, great defenses, and both can do damage on special teams. In my mind, that all adds up to a low-scoring, tight game, and 9 points are too many. The Gators won't win. They'll lose 2 in a row, but they should hang within the number. I also like Rutgers to rebound this weekend back at home against Cincinnati. Two reasons I like this game are the home field for Rutgers and revenge. The Bearcats pummeled the Scarlet Knights last year, and Rutgers will remember it. Rutgers has underachieved in my mind so far this year, and I think they finally put together a solid performance, so I'm backing Rutgers -3. I also like Wisconsin +2 at Illinois. Not a whole lot to say on this one. Illinois pulled off a big upset last week in beating Penn State, and I just see a letdown for the Illini after the biggest win of the Ron Zook era. The Badgers +2 at Illinois. Now to the dog of the week, or should we call it a bear this week? I'm backing Baylor +11 against Colorado. Now you can laugh all you want, but I've seen too many inconsistencies in the Buffaloes this year and several other years to think they can sustain that kind of performance they gave last week in knocking off Oklahoma. I think a letdown, just like Illinois, will happen on the road for the Buffaloes, and it really wouldn't surprise me or be totally out of the question to see Baylor win it straight up. I'm not going to go that far to predict it, but I will take Baylor and the points as the dog of the week. And finally, to the best bet of the week, Northern Illinois -3 over Temple. Seems like a crazy game, but Northern Illinois was blown out last week against Central Michigan, and a closer look inside the numbers shows that that game should have been closer. Northern Illinois had over 500 yards of offense, but they also coughed up five turnovers. I think Northern Illinois hangs on to the ball this week, and they will cover the number against the Owls. Northern Illinois -3 over Temple is this week's best bet. And that wraps up part one of the Count Point or Count College Football Preview Show. The second half starts right now.
The Count Point or Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio and the World Internet Radio Network.
The stadium rocks and swings.
And welcome back to the College Football Preview Show. Let's set the table real fast. John Nelson.
Hello.
Phil Kantor.
Always here.
John Wilkerson. Here with you.
Usually here.
Yes, anyway. Usually here, except when you're on the road.
And we're going to start off the second half with the 12.
Okay.
And here are your games. Sunflower Series renews Kansas and Kansas State. And I'll tell you what, I really like that Kansas State team.
They are 3-3.5 and 56.
Iowa State at Texas Tech.
Yawn.
Texas Tech, 24.5 to 25.5. Your total, 67.
Texas Tech will probably put up 500 yards of passing yards against the Cyclones. Here's another yawner. Colorado at Baylor in Waco.
Yeah, Colorado right now, 8.5 to 10. Your total, 47.
And Baylor briefly flirting with a winning record.
But it is Division I football.
It's a Big 12!
Elsewhere, the Fighting Gundies of Oklahoma State.
I'm a man!
Takes on Texas A&M. And guys,
could you call this
go to the rumor mill?
Could you call this the loudmouth coach poll?
Yeah.
Coach
Fran right now, 66.5 and 62. And how old is Mike Gundy?
I'm 40.
He's 40, right?
He's 40, yeah. Mike, tell us.
I'm 40.
Yeah, again, I didn't hear that.
I'm 40.
Is he a man or a woman?
I'm a man.
Thank God he's a man.
I would hate for him not to be.
That's not true.
Yeah, and I'm
guys
sure.
Are going to the rumor mill here.
Uh-oh. Here?
There seems to be a little discontent with Dennis Franchione, as we know.
Gee, what a surprise after last week's stink.
No,
there's going to be an investigation as to whether he might have violated his conduct clause with his internet.
Well, yeah. What a shocker that is.
So I think they're looking for ways for him
to get bumped off
in College Station. And the name I'm hearing that wants that job.
Bobby Knight.
Tommy Tuberville.
Wow. Why?
Why?
He coached at Texas A&M, I believe, when Jackie Sherrill was coaching there. And I think he's looking for a way out at Auburn.
Wow. Interesting.
That would be an earth shaker.
Wow.
That would be an earth shaker. I'm, you know, just a rumor mill here.
Right.
Interesting. We'll have to talk further about this.
You can consult Jenny Carlson on this later.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nebraska at Missouri and a Big 12 North big game there.
Missouri is 6.5 to 7 and 67.
Chase Daniel having an outstanding year. Nebraska, they just haven't shown me anything.
No, that's Missouri.
Well, Missouri, again, I take myself out because I'm biased here. I like the Tigers.
But yes.
Both teams are good but not great teams.
Right.
But this is a game where some one of those programs has to step it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this is probably –
because somebody has to win the Big
this
Ten.
Is probably
big, has to win the 12 North.
The 12 North.
Somebody's got to win the 12 North and be representative in Kansas City. Are they still playing at Arrowhead?
I think they're still playing at Arrowhead, yes.
Okay. Okay, well, that's still pretty painful.
Until Jerry Jones gets his palace built, and they'll probably move it down there.
Right.
So I like Mizzou.
The
you
game's
guys
a
like
test
Nebraska?
Pattern. The game's a test pattern to me.
Yeah.
Okay. That leaves us to our feature game in the Big 12
the
annual
Red River
Shootout.
You actually referenced it as the Big 12. Is it just because it's big because of this matchup?
Probably. This is the game of the 12.
Okay.
The Red River Shootout at the Cotton Bowl.
Texas State
Oklahoma
Fair.
And Texas.
I think Oklahoma is going to be pissed coming
out
of this.
Yeah, I agree.
This could be ugly.
This could be really ugly. Let's hear from Bob Stoops and Mac Brown.
Mac Brown.
Felt like Colorado played a heck of a football game last week, and I thought we started off really well, got a good strong lead, but Colorado did a better job finishing the game and made more plays in the fourth quarter to win the football game, and so congratulations to them. But we're on to Texas, excited about the opportunity once again with Texas. It's always a great rivalry and a game we look forward to, and it's always a challenge. So we're just moving on, working towards that.
Does it help to have a game of this magnitude after a loss to get your team refocused in a hurry?
Well, you hopefully at a place like University of Texas that if you lose, you're going to be ready to play anyway. But Oklahoma is an exciting game.
Okay,
now,
guys,
here's the number. Listen to this: 11-52.
Really?
11.
The numbers all go to 11.
Spread, I could see. The point total may be short.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe so. Right. After the way Texas is playing, though, and let's admit, this game lost a lot of luster last week.
They lost to K-State.
I really like Oklahoma, but probably two touchdowns
more. I think they're going to come in pissed and wipe the floor with them.
The other question I have is, Colt McCoy going to even remember this game, being that he got concussed last week?
Yeah, really. That's the big question.
Concussed against FSU or K-State.
Yeah, four picks, and that's the big thing. Is he even going to be around for this one?
If he's not, this could be real
even worse,
real fast.
Yes, that.
They don't have much else.
Exactly.
As they say in Oklahoma, tuck Texas.
Yes.
Good one.
All right, let's move on to the ACC.
Okay.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, ye doggies. This is an interesting matchup as Miami travels to Chapel Hill to take on North Carolina. Of course, Butch Davis for years, the Miami head coach. First time he's faced the Canes since he left at Miami, and I really see a blowout in this game with Miami.
Get this. Here's your line mistake of the week. 6.5 and 7.5, your total 41.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And I thought, and you guys remember at the beginning of the year, I said that you don't want to face North Carolina in October, November, because I really thought that team would come together.
Yeah.
It just hadn't happened, and there's quite obviously the talent is just not in Chapel Hill.
Thank you, John Bunting.
No, it may be there in time, but it ain't there now.
Bowling Green takes on Boston College in Chestnut Hill.
BC 20-21, 58.5.
Practice game.
Does Matt Ryan throw for 500 yards?
First three quarters, hits the fourth.
Moving on in the ACC, Wake Forest is at Duke. Duke almost pulled off the upset last year.
Wake 7.5 and 47.
Might be a more interesting game than you think in terms of the closeness of it. Sorry, J-Dub.
Yeah, really.
I will say this. Thaddeus Lewis is really playing well.
Yeah, Duke, they're not a good team, but they've improved each week.
Yeah, they're not a horrible team.
Yeah. I mean, they could give Wake a run for their money here.
Okay, then.
Yes.
So someone's on the Blue Devil bandwagon.
This week.
At least this week. NC State and Florida State.
Florida State 18-45.5.
That sounds about right.
I see blowout. Moving on, Virginia. Why the heck are they playing at Middle Tennessee State?
I don't know, and this is intriguing also. Virginia's only 9.5 to 10.5 and 45.5.
Well, if the two can score, I don't know that they can do much with Virginia, though.
Well, UVA is still unbeaten in the ACC, still leading the Coastal Division, which to me is a shock. I did not expect this Virginia team to get off that
start. Why are they even ranked?
Even after the Wyoming team.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm still trying to figure out why they were ranked.
I'm speechless.
Number of wins.
Yeah. I mean, they're not. I guess they're not a horrible team, but they beat Georgia Tech and soundly.
Well, Sewell's playing well at quarterback. Cedric Pierman is on par with Tashard Choice right now in the league. They're battling for the rushing league. And speaking of Tashard Choice, he and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets go to Maryland to take on the Terps. You know, I looked at the history of this series, and Georgia Tech just owns Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
They won 13 of the 18 meetings with the Terps.
This should be a good game. Both teams got a lot to play for here. If they want any kind of hopes of, A, both going to a bowl game, and B, if they want to stay in the at least close in the conference chase.
Right now, Tech 3-41. And would you like to hear from them?
That's here from Chan Gailey and the Fridge.
Well, we have a extremely tough ball game this week going up to Maryland, who beat a very good Rutgers team. It's going to be a challenge for our team. It always is to play up there. They've got a very versatile team. They can run it. They can throw it. And I think they're a very good pass defense team. Even though they gave up some yards last year, on the whole, they're a good pass defense team.
Coach, how do you prepare a quarterback with very little experience to go up against a defense like Georgia Tech's?
as best you can. You know, it's they blitz quite a bit of the time. You know, have a multitude of personnel groups that they do it with, and it's a very difficult undertaking, but we're doing the best we can.
Okay, guys, the Georgia Tech offense goes as Tashard Choice goes.
Yes.
That is quite obvious.
Yes.
Yeah, and Taylor Bennett apparently is not the answer that they thought he was at quarterback for Tech. And his one big game was the Gator Bowl last year. But it's
that defense has really kept them in games.
Oh, yeah. With the exception of the BC game.
Right.
Well, other than the two games that they lost, the BC and the Virginia game, the defense was run right over. Which would lead to the question, which defense is going to show up?
Yes, exactly.
Well, they turn it up a notch knowing that Chris Turner is going to be more than likely starting against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I think it's an opportunity for Tanuda to confuse him.
To blitz from everywhere possible.
Yeah, and see what the kid has.
Well, Lance Ball and Keon Lattimore have been outstanding as well.
Indeed.
As running backs for Maryland. That's going to be an entertaining ball game. I'm looking forward to that one. This one, Virginia Tech and Clemson, and they're playing at Death Valley. And let's just say Tommy Bowden got the loss that no one expected last week.
Yeah.
every
year.
So an 8-9 nice winning year.
He's
for
back
Clemson
on the clock.
Is in the cards, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Clemson 5.5 to 6 and 40.5.
Now, what kind of offense will Virginia Tech have?
Ew.
Yeah, that's the I guess that's the question.
I think zero would be the answer to that question.
Well, let's hear from Frank Beamer and Tommy Bowden.
We're playing a really good football team offensively. I think great speed. You know, you lose the two backs, just unbelievable. Then you throw Ford in there with his speed. I mean, it's just fast. Now, I think you put the quarterback in there that's 14th nationally in passing efficiency. That gives them another dimension there. And then defense. You know, Clemson's always been tough. Ever since I've known Clemson, they've been, you know, a tough football team and certainly tough defensively. So we got a tremendous challenge coming Saturday.
We haven't beaten Virginia Tech, I know, since I've been here. Year before I got here, they lost rather large, you know, by a large margin to them. So everybody's aware of our record against them and you know, probably how much confidence they have against us. So. You know, they're a tough team to play, at least for us, and we have not had much success against them. And last year's game is just indication of how well we're going to have to play.
You know, this game to me, it could be
10-9.
It could be 5-4.
Yeah, really.
I mean. I give Clemson the nod because it's in Death Valley, but...
Yeah, that'd be the only advantage they really have there. These two teams are very, very similar.
It's Virginia Tech's second Death Valley game this year.
Yes.
Mm. Well, there's multiple Death Valleys,
as
we all know.
LSU.
They didn't do so well at the LSU.
First time around.
No.
All right, let's
Pac-10, right?
Let's move west, young man.
Okay.
Talk about the Pac-10. Here are the games going on in the Pac-10. Arizona Wildcats.
Football.
Take on Oregon State and Corvallis.
Oregon State is 54.5.
And have we begun the death watch on Mike Stoops yet?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, we have indeed.
Arizona State, who's ranked in the top 25 now, heads up to Pullman to take on the Washington State Cougars.
8.5, 9.5, 62.5.
Who's the head coach of Washington State?
Bill Doba.
And in Arizona State?
Dennis Erickson.
He wins the car, Phil.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Thank you, Mr. Helper.
Yes, Southern
your homework, young grasshopper.
Yeah, really.
Southern Cal hosting Stanford.
Jim Harbaugh has not opened his pie hole this week. 38-39 point favorite for USC. 59.5.
If you were a tree.
Yeah, really. What kind of tree would you be? A losing tree.
It's still the best mascot in college sports.
Especially with the googly eyes.
Cal, Oregon, and Washington all have open dates. I thought Washington played well against USC.
They did.
And I'm a huge Jake Locker fan.
Yeah, we noticed.
And Ty Willingham's done a nice job, and that's a team that's going to be reckoned with in the next couple of years in the pack.
Mm-hmm.
And here's our feature game as the 0-5 Notre Dame Fighting Irish travel to the Rose Bowl. The only way they're going to play in the Rose Bowl is to play UCLA.
To play UCLA?
20-21.5. 48 your total.
Hey, I'm going to give Notre Dame a little benefit of the doubt here. UCLA got waxed by Utah.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah. Utah State.
No, Utah.
Utah. No, Utah State. Come on.
Utah State, the perennial lower five? No. Just plain old Utah.
Give the Aggies some credit, though, at least.
What is a Ute?
The people in Logan love you right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
I mean.
Yeah, you're both stunned.
Three words here actually come to mind.
What the f***?
0-6.
Yeah, there you go.
Do we hear from Cal Durrell and Charlie Weiss?
Yes, we do. Charlie actually thinks that his quarterbacks are getting the hang of this football thing.
They both have done a very good job progressing and running the team. I mean, last week was almost like a turning point with them going from calling plays to running plays. I mean, they had a lot better job of running the offense in practice last week, and I thought there was definitely carryover in the game.
We have Notre Dame this week here at home, so we're anxious and excited about that opportunity. But there's also a lot of work for us to complete and to get better with until that game. So there's a lot of work for us to be done. For this team, our penalties will be addressed any which way, shape, and form we can. We've got to really utilize those our resources in practice. We're going to have to discipline those resources as well, just to make sure we're getting our points across. But we're just really going to work on doing our things right fundamentally and really be paying attention to the details.
Perhaps by their junior years, they may actually be good at it.
Exactly. So that's your Pac-10. Where are we going now? Dreaded others. All right. I guess I get to blow through all this stuff, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Speed talking voice.
Yep. Sun Belt, Arkansas State, 2.5 and 3, 55.5 playing Louisiana Monroe. Troy, 18-20 and 55 playing FIU. The marketing department will be happy. Louisiana Lafayette, 8-67 hosting North Texas. And we already talked about South Florida, FAU, Virginia, and Middle Tennessee. Conference USA as Southern Miss is empty. Houston, Alabama, you talked about already. Tulane and Army. Army, 6.5, 7, 43.5. UCF and East Carolina, it is 3.5 to 4.5 and 54. Tulsa, 3-72.5 playing UTEP. The Mountain, Wyoming, 3-40.5 playing TCU. Colorado State, 13.5, 58.5 hosting San Diego State. Air Force, 5.5 and 44 with UNLV. The WAC, Nevada, 3.5, 56.5 playing Fresno. San Jose State, 7-51 playing Idaho. Already talked about Ole Miss and Louisiana Tech. Hawaii, 39-40 and 69 playing Utah State. Sunday night, Boise, 22-23 points and 60 playing New Mexico State, fresh from their three-point win against Arkansas Pine Bluff in the pink out. The MAC, Northern Illinois, 4-52.5 playing Temple. Ohio, 4-54 playing Buffalo. Kent, 9-48.5 playing Miami of Ohio. Western Michigan, 8.5-58. Toledo Liberty, no line. We already talked about BC, Bowling Green, Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Ball State, 13-14, 67.5 playing Central Michigan. I am done.
And out of breath.
Thank you.
Catch your breath.
Thank you.
Well, let's move on.
Yes.
From the dreaded others to the team of OSG, Portland State. Now, let's celebrate a win by the Vikings.
Yes, last-second win.
A last-second win as they defeated 21st-ranked Eastern Washington. And they went to Cheney. And let me tell you guys, Cheney is not an easy place to get to.
No. End of the world.
It was a 28-21 road win for the Vikings last second. Let's hear from Tom Hewitt, who and the highlights from KTR Radio. Roll it.
White, the quarterback, out of the gun. Rolls to the left. Sets up. Throws the football long towards the end zone. Got a man out there. Jumping catch and a touchdown. Portland State. Kenneth Mackins comes up with a grab from Brian White on a 24-yard hookup and a touchdown. Portland State officially. It'll be 23 yards, and the Vikings are 1 point away from knotting it up. White drops to throw. Lofts the ball. Got a man out there, and a diving catch is made. Oh, what a spectacular catch on the far side. White drops to throw. They got them all stacked up. He's going to pump fake, throw the football. Late, got a touchdown on the play. Portland State into the end zone. Reggie Joseph comes up with a catch as he sat down right at the goal line. And White hooks up with him from 11 yards. White drops to throw. Plenty of time. Pointing receiver sets up. Throws the ball in the slot. Got a catch on the play. Bromwell's got the catch down to the 18-yard line. The sophomore transfer from the University of Oregon, South Eugene High School, with the big catch that started at the 32. And they'll spot the football at the 18. So a 14-yard pickup and another Viking first down. Brian White with a long count. Now gives it a late handoff to Shubo Mahin. Mahin running towards the end zone. Touchdown, Portland State. Shubo Mahin takes it to the house from 12 out. And the Vikings spring to the lead now, 27-14 with 3:28 to go. Ramos in the game for Portland State. White drops the throw. Now rolls out to the right. Got a man open on the plate. Shubo Mahin down the sidelines. Got the first down and more. Cuts back to the middle at the 25-yard line. They'll keep him in bounce and roll the clock. And it'll be a first down, Portland State. Nichols drops the throw. This will run out the clock. Sets up, throws the ball towards the end zone. Vikings have defenders out there, and it's going to be intercepted on the play by Portland State, and the Vikings have won the football game. Let's get the number on that man that came up with the interception down there. The Vikings have him hugged. We don't see him. Portland State gets the win on the last play of the game.
Well, before the game started, we said if we could win this game, we could have a run at the Big Sky, but we could not win it without both lines winning. The two lines had to do it, and that happened. Halftime, we came right back to them. We said, guys, it's in your hands. You guys have to win it. You have to maul them. You have to get after them. And I really respect the team that we just played. And to do this to a team that well coached, to come up here and sneak away with a win, it's an honor to be a small part of it.
So now the Vikings move on.
Go Vikes.
Exactly. They take on a team I'm a little bit familiar with, the Lumberjacks of Northern Arizona University. This is a home game.
Yep.
For Portland State. Portland State actually is tied for the lead in the Big Sky with Montana at 2-0.
The Grizz.
With Montana State, actually.
Nobody beats the Grizz.
Montana State and Montana. Well, so
you're close.
My mistake there.
Same the entire state of Montana is who they're tied with.
So we're happy for the Vikings.
Yes,
got their
we are.
First win. And as I thumb through this, Montana, the number one team in Division I AA. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Football Championship Subdivision.
The FCS.
You can't. FCS. You can't.
Well, you can't.
Followed by Northern Iowa, North Dakota State, UMass, Appalachian State, McNeese State, Southern Illinois, Wofford, James Madison.
Well, look who's in the also receiving votes?
Town
you
State.
Guess Georgia Southern.
That would be Portland State with the 26 votes. NAU got a vote. Why, I don't know.
Because everybody does.
Everybody gets a vote in the Football Championship Subdivision. The Delaware Blue Hens at 11.
Okay. Time for the poll.
Let's do the poll.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Who'd you guys have?
Do you have it there?
Not the composite, no, because I left it on the copier at work.
Oh, damn.
So discuss for about a minute. Merits of USC versus LSU, number one.
I still had USC as number one. They didn't do anything to not get knocked off their pedestal. They didn't lose.
But apparently some of the guys in the poll, some of the pollsters thought that LSU deserved to be number two. I mean, LSU deserved to be number one, USC number two.
That's their problem. I mean, right now, USC, to me, hasn't done anything to be knocked off that perch. LSU, they struggled a little bit against Tulane, but then SC had a tough one with Washington. I don't see the correlation there. I don't see why they didn't stay number one.
I think it's essentially an irrelevant argument right now, and at least until the end of the season to find out if they both end up undefeated. What's the difference whether they're number one or number two?
I think we can all agree they're the two best teams in college football right now. They're playing on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out what LSU has this week when Florida comes in Death Valley.
Yeah, now you had Georgia Southern in your top 12.
Yeah, that was only just a little bit of a jab at Brother Burton for putting Delaware in his last week.
Did you have any funky ones? I can't remember. Yours was pretty much straight up and down, wasn't it?
Right. I had Missouri up in the poll.
Yeah.
I put Arizona State because I think the Sun Devils are playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have anything really funky. I had South Florida in my top five.
Yeah,
I did as well. And I purposely left Wisconsin out of my top 12 because I don't think any other than Ohio State.
I don't think I had Wisconsin either.
Than Ohio State right now, I don't think there's a top 12 team in the
10?
No.
In bottom five. Obviously, Notre Dame's still number one.
Oh, yeah.
Rice got votes. Utah State got votes. North Texas got votes.
I had the Temple of Doom in mind.
Yeah. And we did have one vote for the Texas State Fighting Armadillos. Manu Manu the Slender was not pleasing Brother Dansky at KCBS in Los Angeles.
Was Kathy Ireland kicking field goals?
Always.
Well, then if that's the case, they may end up in the top 12 before it's all said and done.
No doubt. That's it. Any last thoughts?
I really think this
Tony
week,
Joyner?
Tony Joyner.
What an idiot.
What an idiot.
You can't fix stupid.
You got your biggest game of the year, and what does Tony do? Try to get a girl's car out of the impound lot.
Yeah, for some.
Not by paying for it,
no.
But by trying to drive it out before it's ready.
Yeah, but he will be playing, and he was just stripped of his captaincy. That is the only thing that has happened so far.
And his wrists probably are sore from being slapped.
Yes.
Well, I think we got some really good games this week. Oklahoma, Texas, LSU, Florida. Got some really nice games this week. Enjoy them.
Yeah, that.
I'll be up in Knoxville for the Georgia-Tennessee game, and it should be an interesting weekend.
Have a steak at Calhoun's on me for him, all right?
If you're going to pay, if you're buying, I'm
he's flying.
He's flying?
Yeah, if you're buying, he's flying. That's it. Wilkie, Action Phil.
Aloha.
I'm John. Blakeney, take us home.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, the World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.OnlineSportsGuys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.